This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Opening half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Scheduled to go over there on Saturday, as a matter of fact, to Sunbury Motors. All right, so today we'll talk about the Ravens draft. We'll have our old friend Bo Smelka back. We are aiming to get Dennis Dodd on the show tomorrow. Dick Girardi will join us about the Kentucky Derby Friday at 1:10 during this time slot. That's where we have him right now. Unless there's a last-second change, that's where DJ is going to go. Todd helped set it up. I called him today and firmed that last part up. So, and how are you today, Todd?
Good. Duly noting Dick's time. I was going to get a hold of him after the show, so that works perfectly.
No need to do it. It's already been done.
I'm great after the last 25 seconds of the Sixers game last night.
That was quite a performance by Philadelphia when they needed it. First of all, they did enough to keep themselves within hailing distance. Oubre was okay. Harris was okay. I know he had a triple-double, but really Embiid was no better than okay last night. Too many turnovers, a lot of mistakes. But he made some plays when they needed it. But Maxey was off the charts last night. And the three he made to send it into overtime was just a tremendous shot. It was, in some ways, Caitlin Clark-esque in terms of distance.
And one of my favorite parts is that, I don't know if you saw the picture going around, but there's a perfect picture of John Stewart staring off in the distance with Maxey right in front of him after Maxey hit the shot. Where I just I forget the celebrity, but somebody else flipped him the double bird after it went in.
Perfect. That's great. That's what I love for my fans.
Yes.
Hey, the ability to do the double bird.
Hey, he's probably lucky Spike Lee didn't beat him up too.
Right.
But I mean, they're talking, I'm old enough to have been watching when Reggie Miller did it in that Sunday afternoon at the Garden, and that's what it reminded me of. I mean, it's very rare that you invoke that name in the Garden anymore, and that was an amazing last 25 seconds for Maxey.
It really was. The difference was Miller did it all by himself, and the way it happened was crazy. That really is difficult to duplicate, but on this particular night, when the Sixers needed it, they've now been able to send this series back to Philadelphia with a chance to tie it up. I mean, look, the Garden is going crazy last night. The Knicks are up six. They are right there ready to close it out. Hart then, of course, obliges at the free throw line. Doesn't get it done. And Maxey, what did Maxey have, 46 last night?
Yes.
It's just tremendous what he did. I mean, great shots. Shot selection was really good, too, last night. But it was just impressive across the board as to what they did. I was just really, when it was all said and done, I looked at him and went, give credit where credit's due. You got to tip your cap to the guy that got it done. He got it done.
And you know, no matter how this season ends, I think that's the biggest takeaway for the Sixers this year is just the step forward he's made, and some of the games that he's put together this season is only going to be huge for the future.
It is, except you still need the third guy somewhere. And it's really a third guy league in so many ways. When Denver won last year, there's no question it's Jokic, Murray, but then who else stepped up? You know, the kid from Kansas stepped up and made plays. Gordon stepped up and made plays. I mean, they were able, it may have rotated, but they had a third guy stepping up every night to make plays. For the most part, the Knicks have had that in this series, the third guy that steps up to make a play to balance the top two. The Sixers haven't had that and still really didn't have it last night either. But credit where credit's due. I mean, they were given up for lost with a couple of minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They were absolutely given up for lost with 27 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. They won the game.
You talk about the third guy. I don't know. I get them in my work email at the paper. They must get them here, the betting emails.
Yeah.
The junk ones that the Sixers are the favorite to get LeBron James next year.
What? Really?
I don't know. I who barely can? Look at it. It was just in who, the subject line.
Who came up with that?
I don't know.
There's no way he's leaving the West Coast.
Oh, no.
I mean that only because of his movie projects and so forth. I mean, it really is a great spot for him to be in. Geez, I couldn't imagine him being on the East Coast. In Philadelphia? Why not New York?
Well, I'm thinking the speculation is the cap room that the Sixers are going to have in the offseason would allow them to do that. I don't think it's feasible as an actual move, though.
I see what you're saying. I didn't latch on to that part. That's on me.
Well, the other guy that I saw today was maybe Paul George, because he's going to be a free agent too. And that
I am not a Paul George guy at all.
He's just old now too. That's
to me he is. There's every time you turn around with Paul George, it is his name is mentioned and he's a star and he's so forth. And I watch the games and I don't see star performances. Doesn't mean you have to be a star every night, right? But don't you have to do it at least on a consistent basis? And every time I turn around, Todd, I don't see it. I don't see it. On a nightly basis, I don't see it. And so I have never been a big Paul George guy. I've always felt there was a lot of hype and anticipation, and then when you finally put the steak on the grill, there's no sizzle.
I think he's one of those guys that was underrated for so long early in his career, it made him overrated now.
Well, that's a possibility.
I mean, obviously, as a mid-first round pick and what he did originally at Indiana.
Sure. Yep.
But then I agree with you. I don't think he's put together any of the type of seasons that people expected him to when he signed the big free agent contract when he left Indiana.
In other words, when I go to a game. Right. Okay. So, you know, we can talk about Embiid's been, you know, with the injuries and everything, he's been up and down in the series, right?
Correct.
Yet, if you're Tom Thibodeau, don't you go into every game figuring out how the heck do I take care of this guy? Right? Now, Maxey, how do I take care of this guy? When I'm facing the Clippers, I'm sorry, if I'm the coaching staff, I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll cover him. But it's not like, oh, well, we got to take care of this guy. He is. Because I don't even consider him dangerous.
I mean, with their age and kind of the way they play, you know, if Kawhi Leonard's not playing, I'm not sure they have somebody that's dangerous anymore. I mean,
yet. Dallas is fighting their guts out against them.
Well, I mean, Dallas isn't much more than Doncic and Irving. I mean, they have their share of war players that are decent, but they're basically a two-man team too.
And that's one of the issues that you have with these teams. Like Minnesota's really good. Who's the third guy? Rudy Gobert? I mean, Oklahoma City. Who's the third guy? Now, with the Celtics, I can give you a list. Now, they lost Porzingis for 2 weeks. But now, you know, that opens the door. I mean, Derek White may not be a star, but he's played better than everybody on the Sixers roster except for Maxey and Embiid. And he's not a star. But see, they've got that third guy in him. They've already got Brown, they've got Tatum, and Porzingis is the third guy. All right, well, they don't have that third guy anymore. So now who steps up? Well, gee, it's really nice to have Al Horford around. It's really nice to have Derek White around. I mean, that's the difference. They've got a depth of guys that can fill the third guy spot. But the Sixers, look, they're going home, which is great. Hopefully they'll have exponentially more Sixer fans in the building than the last time they played. Hopefully that has been rectified so they can feel like they have an absolute home court advantage. And that is, and then maybe they can do it again because, people keep forgetting who's not there for the Knicks. Julius Randle. They have been winning this series without Julius Randle, one of their top options. Now, is Randle a great player? No, he's not a great player, but he's very good. He's very good.
He would certainly take some of that scoring pressure off of Brunson.
No question he would. I mean, it's, instead of having Hartenstein out there, who would be getting role player minutes, he now gets more prime minutes having to go up against Embiid. So there's a lot of things here that have been interesting, but the Sixers have now, at the very least, been able to get their series back home. Perfect. Now they need to take advantage of it because then in Game 7, everybody, you roll the dice and you just see how it plays out. And I give them all the credit for doing that. Nick Nurse has done a good job to get them there. But Maxey is the guy that, when they needed it, he poured in a lot of shots last night. A lot of shots.
A Game 7 in the Garden would be a blast on Sunday. I think it'd be, no, it's Saturday, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a party in there last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then suddenly, Maxey ruined the party.
Did you stay up and see this? The Phillies came back and won, too.
I did not. Once, trying to think. Hey, after that, I watched a little TV, and then I went to sleep.
I was going to say, in the last 20 years, it's only the second time the Flyers or Sixers have won a playoff game in the last minute, and the Phillies have had a one in the ninth inning.
Wow. Hey, great.
The other time was April 19th, 2009, Phillies-Padres in Game 1 of the 76ers and the Magic. I do not remember either of those games.
But the Phillies got back to the World Series that year.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. And that was really heck for them. They were facing the Yankees in the series. I'm like, come on. Come on.
That's was that the Yankee? Yeah, I guess that was the Yankee series. I didn't know who to root for because I kind of like to poke at my brother though when the Phillies get that far.
Oh. It's one of those that my grain Matt is upset about. So
I wouldn't say I was rooting for the Yankees. I don't know what it would take me to root for the Yankees.
If they're facing a foreign country.
It would also depend on the foreign country.
No. Like any foreign country. All right.
Even the Canadians?
Yeah, well, even when the confines of this country, I've got a root. I can't do it. But outside the country? No. I'm all over it. They don't fall apart on me now.
I'm not.
I'm just making sure. I'm a little worried.
It's a little early.
Okay. Just making sure. All right, we'll take a break. Opening half hour brought to you by NILGameChangers.org. Go there today and start your journey here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Great to have you with us on the show today. NFL draft with the Ravens in the final half hour. Looking forward to that. I know that Todd has been working hard on getting Dennis Dodd for tomorrow's show. We can talk about this, the settlement talks. That doesn't mean that it's going to reap any fruit. We'll find out. But at least they're talking. Now they were told by the judge they have to talk, but yeah, they're talking.
It's a step further than the NCAA usually goes in these court cases.
Ugh, brutal. I mean, I'm talking brutal. But we'll talk more about it in the next half hour. It's amazing to me that the numbers they're talking about, they are big. That's the part I want to get into. How do athletic departments respond to this? I don't know. But I think it's something worth discussing. It's something that is worth getting into, because it's not just affecting football and basketball. The question is, does it affect other sports? Because you have to sit there, and when you're talking about affecting other sports, your job still as the athletic director is to do whatever you can to get the numbers on the balance sheet to be relatively in the same neighborhood, right?
In theory.
Yeah. And now every athletic department is run differently. So I have that I understand. Some get more university help than others. But, you know, and others like Penn State are autonomous. Okay.
I mean, think about, is it Arizona that's in so much debt athletically? And like, how does somebody like that, you know, pay off their debts and then incur more debt to pay off, you know, to pay players? And
well, the example I'm going to use in the next half hour and go through it will be UCLA.
Okay.
And only because there's more familiarity with UCLA because of the Big Ten situation. And because of, I'm going to go like how much debt they're in to begin with. I mean, when your starting number is $104 million in the red, and the goal of getting into the Big Ten is to somehow dramatically close that gap, what does this then do to your ability to close the gap?
Makes it really hard.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Your source for name, image, and likeness, athlete, business. Get your journey started today. They're great at it. NILGameChangers.org. here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
An in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This half hour sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Purdy Insurance Agency in Sunbury for all your insurance needs. And we are here live in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia and Hummel's Wharf for all your car and car care needs. We were talking a little bit about the NBA playoffs in the first half hour. A little bit on the Phillies. Going to talk a little House versus the NCAA, I believe the case is called, and the settlement talks a little bit here. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this. It was a little late last night. The Dodgers and the Diamondbacks were delayed by almost 2 hours because there was a hive of bees, almost, it looked like, on top of the home plate net on that.
Yeah, how did they get in there? Because the roof is normally closed in that place.
I have no idea. I don't think they ever determined it.
Wow.
The beekeeper was the most popular guy in the stadium last night, though.
They had him throw out the ceremonial first pitch.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
He's like, hey, that's nice. He says, no offense, he says, I kind of loved it. I give him credit.
He was waving the whole time. He was having a grand old time with it.
Yeah, you know, hey, what the heck? But he got it taken care of. Talk about necessary job. I didn't see any of the MIT grads over there trying to get him.
No.
Oh, goodness. Hey. Everybody has a job to do. You do it well. That's all it's. And he obviously seemed to love his job. By the way,
it seems he's also now the most famous beekeeper in America.
Yeah, at this hour, yes,
yes.
Yes, yes, yes. So there you go. Yeah, took care of that. So let's talk about the money part of it. I know this is always the part that drives the suit insane. You know. Because it takes away the aura of sports. How dare we sit there and talk about money? Yet that is the key to the whole ballgame here. The heck of this. Was it Forbes magazine? Did a thing about Ivy League schools. And, okay, we're tracking the net worth of the world's wealthiest people, unveil what's called the New Ivies. 10 public and 10 private schools because of the wealth surrounding their school. So Binghamton, Georgia Tech, the University of Florida, Illinois, Urbana, Maryland at College Park, University of Michigan, North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Texas, and the University of Virginia, and the University of Wisconsin at Madison. The private Ivies in terms of wealth being churned out: Boston College, Carnegie Mellon, Emory University, Georgetown, Johns Hopkins, Northwestern, Rice, Notre Dame, USC, and Vanderbilt. Wow.
I think the weirdest one on there is Binghamton.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed Binghamton.
Give them credit. Give them credit. So let's talk about money for a moment. I know. This suit's like, no, we need to talk about the open to the Indy 500 on a beautiful day on the last Monday in May. 33 drivers descend upon the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The goal, to go 500 miles faster than anybody else. The fastest drivers on the planet.
I keep that up. They might call you for the open, Steve. You keep this up.
Right? From Roger Holman to Jim Nabors to everybody in between. The Indy 500 is noted for its pageantry and its speed. What do you think, huh?
That's pretty good right off the top of your head.
I know. I was like, all right, I feel great. Right? But see, like, to the suit, that's sports. And I totally get it because the vast majority of people, that's sports. Right? That's how they look at it. Now, you know, there's some people now look at it as a gambling opportunity that I do get. But now we're in this spot where money is ruling the day in college sports. And what we're going to talk to, you know, should we get Dennis Dodd tomorrow, we're going to talk to him about it on the negotiations, which, by the way, they've been mandated by, I think the judge is Christina Wilkins, I believe is the judge. And she's the one, and it's standard. Hey, why don't the two of you sit down at a table and talk? The trial's not through January. Let's see if you can work it out ahead of time. It saves the court time. It saves the court money. It saves the state money. It saves a lot of people money by doing it if you work it out on your own. That's why, you know, they strongly suggest it. So they've sat down and they've talked. Now, are they anywhere close to a resolution? No. But they're talking. And Trev Alberts, the athletic director at Texas A&M, told his alumni group, hey, look, we may have to come up in the budget with another $15 to $20 million. Now, let's be conservative. Maybe the number ends up being $10 to $15 million, being conservative. But the question is, who gets the money? Everybody? Football? Basketball? Both? Women's basketball? You give it to men's basketball, you have to give it to women's basketball. What kind of role does Title IX play in it? But having a blanket number as a target number you have to hit to do it is problematic. There are certain schools, based on their TV contracts, their radio contracts, size of stadium, or the ability to sell out arenas, whatever it may be, where they have the revenue where it's going to hurt, but they can do it. And then there are others. So let's take the example I brought up in the previous half hour, UCLA. UCLA is going along, and I think in 2016, I want to say they averaged maybe 77,000 fans a game at the Rose Bowl. They were doing pretty well. They're doing all right. But then things started to fall off at the Rose Bowl. Then the pandemic hit. And then the last couple of years, attendance out in Pasadena has not been great. They had a bunch of crowds in the 30s last year. I think the biggest crowd they had was 77 when they faced USC. The hope was, well, they needed to get a lifeboat. And so for Martin Jarman, the athletic director, and for Gene Block, the chancellor, they had to find one. And when Mike Bone, the athletic director at USC, was able to get a hold of Fox to start a process that opened the door to getting into the Big Ten, UCLA then jumped at the opportunity to see if they could tag along as well, because USC would need a partner to do this. And it worked out perfectly. Why? Because between the pandemic and everything else that had happened at UCLA, declining attendance at Pauley Pavilion, declining attendance at the Rose Bowl, the lack of a blockbuster TV contract for the Pac-12, which was running out, they were $104 million in debt. So they were facing the possibility of maybe cutting some sports to see if they could make ends not maybe meet, but at least have a close the gap on getting the ends to meet. That's how dire their situation was financially. $104 million in debt. Along comes the Big Ten, the lifeboat. Now, it doesn't solve every UCLA problem, but whatever the number happens to be, so we'll use an average of $75 million in this contract. I know it's more backloaded, but still. Starting this year, they're going to get more money from the TV deal than they ever dreamed of. The top-out number they were probably going to get, if the Pac-12 had stayed together, they probably were going to get right around $40 million a school, if they had stayed together. I know they think they could have gotten 48, and they probably would have gotten 40. Again, what they think they were going to get and what's reality, you know, we always talk about negotiations. Notre Dame wanted 75. We said on the show they probably would get 50. They got 50. Okay? All right. Well, that's how this works. You know, oh, we can get 48. You're probably going to get 40. Well, they're now in a TV deal that gives them, on the average, $35 million more than what the Pac-12 could give them. Wow. Not only that, over the next 5 years, you're going to have Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, along with USC, going out to Pasadena. Plus, you're going to have other Big Ten schools that I think are going to travel pretty well, because guess what? The Indianas and the Minnesotas of the world and Maryland, okay, no offense, but their idea of going to the Rose Bowl was a long shot. Now they get to go. I remember when Nebraska went out there for a regular season game, they loaded that place. It's also Nebraska fans, too. I mean, they travel really well. But now they have a possibility of increased attendance. Out of curiosity, they'll probably do better at Pauley Pavilion. And they have the TV deal, which allows them to close that financial gap. They can't do it all in one fell swoop, but over a period of time, they probably should be able to whittle it down without affecting any other sports. Fine. But along comes this proposal. So now let's get to the proposal. If they're talking about you having to pay 10 to 15 or even $15 to $20 million per year to subsidize your athletes, what does that do to your budget? And remember, when you're sitting there, most businesses will do 3 to 5 year projections about where they think everything's going to be in 3 to 5 years. I mean, it's guesswork, but it's educated guesswork. There is not a single athletic director in the country 3 to 5 years ago that counted on this being a part of the budget. There's no way. And now, what do you do with it? So let's get to the cutting sports part of it. When COVID happened, and everybody hemorrhaged money, and the vast majority hemorrhaged eight figures during the COVID year. They hemorrhaged eight figures. There are a few that were fortunate, worked the numbers that were they hemorrhaged seven, but most were like hemorrhaging eight figures, 10 to 20 to 30 million, because, you know, there's they were getting TV money, but there's nobody in the seats. So when that happened, and I talked about it on the show, I said, look, I said, you may see athletic departments cutting sports to make ends meet because of this financial disaster. And I miscalculated on it. Let's give credit where credit's due. I mean, have there been some sports cut? Sure. But it's been, I think, I'm going to say Iowa cut tennis and one other. I don't know if it was swimming and diving or not, but it was definitely tennis was one of them. Maybe it was gymnastics. Right? But Iowa did that. But I haven't heard of many other athletic departments cutting sports. Stanford was going to, including wrestling, and then they were able to keep them on board. So my assumption coming out of COVID was, hey, they may have to cut some sports after this financial disaster to make ends meet, but they didn't have to. So I miscalculated on that. So there's a good chance I miscalculated on this too. But when you're talking at certain athletic departments, a bite of between 10 to 15 or 15 to 20 million that you have to pay into this, what's that going to do? At some place like UCLA, do they now have to sit back and go, because remember, their travel budget's going to be higher. I mean, there'll be several things that are higher. It doesn't offset in any way, shape, or form the TV number that they're getting, but they still have to pay more for it. Yeah. When you're talking about, let's just take a basketball road trip. Hey, we're going to go east. We're going to play Maryland and Rutgers. Well, great. You're not going to fly to Maryland and go back and then fly to Rutgers and go back. You're going to fly to Maryland, stay overnight on a Wednesday, play Maryland on a Thursday, stay overnight after the game, bus up to Rutgers, stay overnight on Friday night, play the game on Saturday, and then fly back. Well, now you've added in, right, longer flight and extra hotel rooms, which means also extra meals. There's a lot of things, and you may have to bring with you a tutor because you're out of class longer. So there's all these expenses that add up. So you already have that you have to take care of. Now you got to take care of 10 to 15 or 15 to 20 million. If you're Martin Jarman, the athletic director at UCLA, you're looking around asking, okay, where are we going to find that from? Lake, the athletic director at Pitt, right? She's in a different spot. Because their TV contract is okay, but it's no better than okay. It's like, what, $35, $36, $37 million a year? Nowhere near what the SEC or the Big Ten getting, right? I've talked about Penn State's radio deal. The Pitt radio deal is pennies on the dollar compared to Penn State. So let's talk about generating revenue from tickets. All right. With all due respect to Pitt football, what tickets? They sell out Acrisure Stadium when they play Notre Dame, but they are only there on a rotating basis with the ACC deal. They sell out with Ohio State, but Ohio State has gone there, a couple of times in the last 25 years? They sell out, obviously, when Penn State's there. But Penn State's gone there twice, the Acrisure Stadium, in the last 23 years. And, of course, the Backyard Brawl with West Virginia. Everything else is a fight to get people in the stands there. They'll draw well when they play Florida State. They'll draw well when they play Clemson. Everybody else is like, eh. So you're not getting a lot of bump on your ticket sales. Same thing at the Peterson Center that used to be sold out all the time. Even though Pitt basketball is very good, they're not selling out. So where do they come up with this extra 10 to 15 or 15 to $20 million to distribute to athletes? Where? I mean, again, she sat down and probably did, I don't know what Pitt's rules are, but let's just for the sake of argument, probably had to do a 3 to 5 year projection in 2021. There's no way she has this built in there. Nobody would. I wouldn't have built it in. I'd be aware that the House case was going on, but I mean, everything's been so delayed and takes so long. My 3 to 5 year projection, I'm probably not going to have it in there. Now you got to come up with it. That's if there's a settlement. They go to court, it could be worse.
If the NCAA lets this one get to court, man.
No, they can't. No, Todd, they cannot let it get to court. Yeah, but it also means, and I'm not saying, and at any point in this conversation, did I say the players shouldn't get the money? No, I'm just saying, how do you budget for it? How do you account for it? I mean, you have to come up with a way to do it, right? And believe me, raising ticket prices and raising parking prices, things like that, that's counterproductive. Because you're going to turn people off. That then becomes a real problem. Like, hey, one of the worst things you can do is price yourself out of the market. There's a lot of entertainment options out there. Right? The important part is to get people to keep on coming, and you can figure out the finances after that. Because, look, if I'm a Big Ten school, my next contract for TV is going to be pretty good, too. It really is. It's going to be pretty good. I'm already at, we're not going to get less. So, especially the markets the Big Ten's in. New York, Philly, Baltimore, Washington, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Chicago, hey, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, hey, Des Moines, Omaha, Lincoln, Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles. Really? Not bad. All right. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They take care of all your insurance needs. They're the best in the business. They also want to save you money. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.